Joseph Pasek of Barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to another installment of Ballin here on Barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball and Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Guys, first of all, last time I didn't say let you guys say hello, so Drew, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I hope you all enjoyed our last podcast. We had a blast. We got a lot of listens, and we're glad you guys are tuned in. We're going to keep on upping the ante. We're going to be bringing in a lot of great guests soon on the show, and I'm having a blast here with Rory, who's going to be a staple on the show as well going forward. Rory, glad to have you, man.
Thanks a lot, Drew. Really appreciate it, the opportunity. Let's talk some hoops, man. Let's get straight to the meat and potatoes.
All right, meat and potatoes. Let's start off with the biggest story in opening week, and unfortunately, it's a sad story. Gordon Haywood. What did he play? 6 minutes in a new uniform for the Boston Celtics on opening night, and they played Cleveland. And then, Drew, you want to tell everybody about that horrific, horrific injury?
Yeah, well, I mean, the injury, to be honest with you guys, I didn't see it live. I was at the House of Hoops, where there was an event the same night with Foot Locker, House of Hoops, and Nike that put together. It was a fantastic event. I was actually in the corner where Gary Payton was. They brought in Mr. Payton as a guest, and they actually gave me a couple minutes to speak to the legend. Incredible man, very humble and very
Did you take his glove?
Sorry?
Did you take his glove?
I didn't take his glove. His glove is enshrined right now. It's in gold. It's minted. But anyways, I was looking over at him, and all of a sudden I heard the crowd just kind of go, ooh, and then they must have did the replay, and I heard, ooh, again, and we were kind of busy, and somebody came over and said, hey, I said, what happened? They said, Hayward just broke his leg like crazy. I said, what? No way. So I eventually got to see it. Wow, an unfortunate play. I mean, getting caught up between, I think, LeBron and I forgot who the other defender was, and landed badly and just came down, and everything looked twisted and turned the wrong way. I've actually seen that injury before. When I was at Hoop Dome working there, I saw a young man as well break his ankle like that and dislocate it. And the foot turned the opposite way, even more further around than what Hayward's was. And surprisingly enough, that young man was pretty okay. Like, he wasn't screaming and yelling. But it's a sad thing to see it happen so fast in a season. I think so many viewers were tuned in. You knew about this game for months in advance, and everybody was tuned in to see it. And I only feel sorry for the people in the front row and right there having to witness that. And you saw the reaction, guys, to the players. I mean, it's something that you can't imagine happening. It was very heartbreaking to see from a fan perspective.
And for the people who don't remember, Jorge Barbosa, playing for the Raptors, had a similar injury a few years back. All right, Rory, go ahead.
The thing is, when you look at such a play like this, it was dramatic. And I remember me and you were talking, Joe, briefly off air. When I look back at it, it's like it was a back baseline type of screen where he was running around. Now, when you look at the effect of it, my biggest thing was he trying to catch an alley-oop, right? Because I've never really seen Gordon Hayward catch alley-oops, so what he was jumping at, and I get it. I mean, he just got caught up in LeBron, and if you're getting caught up in LeBron, let's be honest, you're not going anywhere. It's like running into a brick wall, you know, and I know that just by playing basketball myself. You got bigger guys out on the court there, and if you get jammed up and you're running around baseline screens, especially to go up and to go to try to attempt to dunk or catch it alley-oop, you know, an unfortunate circumstance and how he landed. You know, one's got to wonder, you know, somewhat similar to when Paul George broke his part of his leg. You know, we look at these guys, they've got healthy regimes, they train, they bust their butts off season, they work out, they're going through everything, and to have your season cut so short is unfortunate. You know, all we can do is pray, you know, and, you know, we see even Jeremy Lin, he gets put out, you know, with a rupture, in his ACL, in his knee there. And it's just, you know, it's a somber situation that's happening in the NBA. You know, you can't take life for granted. You know, we play to win. We want to see these guys perform, you know, a big marquee game like this opening night. You know, I wanted to sit there and watch this game, and it kind of put a little damper, you know, on the game. And, you know, you could see the effect from even the players. And you go on social media and Twitter, and everybody was saying, like, how do you really play a game after that? But you have to keep it professional at the end of the day, you know, and that's really all I got to say. So, you know, hopefully, you know, from what we heard, the surgery went well, and hopefully Gordon Hayward can come back. I don't think we'll see him this year unless they make a deep, deep playoff run, which I hope they can. But, you know, shout-outs to Gordon Hayward, and I want to see him come back on the court.
All right. Other stories.
Can I just add something, Joe, to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, now we talk about that team, that roster, you know, that Celtics roster now without Hayward. You got to believe that Kyrie now, he wanted the opportunity. Obviously, he didn't want it without Hayward, but he wanted the opportunity to kind of prove himself to the world that he could do it. I think this is the time where he's going to have to prove his mettle and say, look, I am this leader now, I'm going to carry you guys to the promised land. I'm going to carry this team to the promised land. We've seen guys step up, Jaylen Brown stepping up so far. Obviously, a guy like Al Horford, he's going to be a solid contributor. So it's all going to depend, you know, Jason Tatum, who I think is a fantastic rookie player, could have went number one overall. I like the pieces they have. I think everybody on that team is going to have to step up and do it for Hayward, who, you know, more than likely, as Rory said, could come back at the end. But the odds are, from his agent saying and his handlers, that he's probably going to miss the whole season. I mean, it's an injury where you want to make sure the bone heals correctly, because it could be not only season-ending but also career-ending, depending on how good they set it back and set all the pieces, the ligaments, everything heal properly for him to come back, you know, close to, if not 100%.
And one thing, Drew, I just wanted to say, I don't know if anybody caught the last part of the game, and it's the laws of attraction, how the universe aligns itself. It was a real, real interesting of how the ball, how it rolled off the rim, and the last person to take the shot was Kyrie Irving over LeBron. Yep. And at first when the shot went up, I thought he hit the shot. Then it was an air ball. And I was like, ooh. And then at least they hugged it out. They had a little bit of a bromance. And, you know, they went through all their signature handshakes. And it was good to see, you know, throughout everything, you know, in basketball and in the NBA, these guys, they play, they work hard, all that good stuff. But, you know, we see the, I like to call it the soap opera effect. You know, you think these guys dislike each other, quote unquote, the media, how they portray it. But really, at the end of the day, they know what it all comes down to, and it's winning, you know?
It's all about business.
And it's all about business, like you just said.
And guys, did you get a chance, by the way, to check me out? I was featured in Complex Magazine. You guys got to check it out when you get a chance. Man, it was a good moment. I had my floral pants on that night, and they picked me out of the crowd, and me and a few other people, to basically talk about our style, and featured me in Complex Magazine, a little feature they had. I'll definitely send you guys a link. It's at complex.com, one of the top, like, fashion entertainment websites out there. They actually have a new show, I don't know if you guys know that, with Gilbert Arenas and Mia Khalifa, and we'll leave it at that. Okay, guys, we'll leave it at that. But, guys, check it out.
I thought you lost the bet. I saw that picture. I thought you lost the bet. I thought you brought Boston to win. And I thought that was Rory's gift, because I'm going to go online here. Okay, listen to this. Monday, October 23rd, Drew Ebanks, the Canadian version of Adrian Wojnarowski, his birthday, Monday, October 23rd. I'm not going to say how old he is.
No, don't do that.
He looks good for 74 years old. So
I'm 30, everybody. I'm 30. That's what I am.
Like
I'm 30.
Like I said, for our colleague who does the wrestling show on the mat, wrestling show on the barn burner, Amanda, you're 29 and holding. 29 and holding. All right. So happy birthday. Shout out to Drew Ebanks. Since you're giving shout outs to everybody.
Thank you.
Shout out to Drew Ebanks. And at the end of this show, Rory will sing you happy birthday. But now, quickly, we're going to touch on other stuff here. Now, I spoke today to my good friend, Tracy Murray, the Long Range Bomber, and
all right.
He told me that Chris Paul, there's fears that he has injured his knee, and there's fears that he will not be back at least for 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. Is that Houston big win and for opening night beating Golden State? But how does that affect Houston Rockets? Let's first start off with Rory.
Well, I go back to the game that they played against Golden State opening night, and you know I understand it was a 1-point win and whatnot. There was parts of the game where the flow, right, and maybe it's just I'm not used to seeing Chris Paul in a Houston Rockets jersey. But it looked weird out there to see him. You know what I mean? Because last year we saw James Harden being the guy to bring up the ball. Now it's kind of like Houston has to go back to their old formula. Old age, right? Father time is catching up, you know, for Chris Paul. And you have Gordon Hayward down. Now you have Chris Paul, Jeremy Lin. It's the injury bug has now started. What this means for Houston, I don't think they should struggle, but against bigger marquee teams, San Antonio, you know, OKC, in the West, it's star-studded, it's stacked. I feel Houston's going to have a little bit of hiccups now because you're now depending more on James Harden, you know, which could potentially arguably could have been the MVP last year. He now has to go into his form of MVP because, you know, every given night is almost playoff atmosphere games for the Houston Rockets, you know, when they play these big marquee teams. So it should be interesting to see how long he's going to be out for, if it's, you know, 2 months or a month or whatnot. But we just have to wait and see, you know. I expect Houston to weather the storm and, you know, hopefully Chris Paul can come back healthy.
Well, one thing they said, Houston guys, is they're looking for a point guard right now. So they've been making calls to Jameer Nelson, trying to get that 13-year vet on board if possible. They're going to need somebody to kind of help them through the spell. But like you said, Rory, I think that, you know, Harden might have to go back to, you know, what he's used to doing until Paul gets back. You know, when you looked at their offense at times there, and Chris Paul didn't have a great game, you know, they kind of had times when they weren't moving the ball, and then they had times when the ball was moving. And when it wasn't moving the ball, there's times when Paul was in the game. It just seemed a little stagnant sometimes. So, you know, for them, I think, again, the key for them to be successful is not only just have it in Harden's hands at this point, is also moving the rock and continuing to keep other guys involved in the offense.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to add as a side note is, I don't know what it was or what got up into him, but Eric Gordon was playing lights out. You know, just the way he was just distributing the ball, going to the hoop, you know. Yeah, I believe he dunked on Nick Young also, too. And I was like, whoa, the guy brought the bunnies back, you know. This is not the Eric Gordon that you know, I missed from when he used to play for the Pelicans, but he seems like he's making a resurgence, you know, into the league.
All right, quickly, let's talk. Before we touch on the Raptors, I want to touch on two other teams who made big moves during the offseason. Number one, Oklahoma looks solid. And number two, sorry, Rory, Minnesota T-Wolves. And let's talk about a big rookie in Los Angeles, the Lakers. What a performance there. Drew, touch on any of these points.
Well, OKC, I absolutely think that they are going to be real. Now, people are criticizing it and saying, well, their opener was against the Knicks. Yeah, that's fine and dandy, but you have to give them some props because they're all, you know, the three guys, the three stars were not used to playing with each other, and they did a pretty good job. They didn't shoot great. I don't think Paul George and Melo shot the ball well at all, but they got numbers, and they put it between George and Carmelo, 50 points, 28 for PG in that game, six threes for him, plus 23. And then you had Melo with 22 points in the game. They only shot a combined 40%, but that's still 50 points put up for the two of them. So they were looking good. And, of course, Mr. Triple-Double, he did what he had to do with 21, 10 rebounds, 16 points, and a plus 29 in that ball game with 8 rebounds, actually 10 rebounds in the game to go with all those dimes as well. I like what they have there in OKC. I love the fact that Steven Adams is a guy who he's a low-maintenance big man. He does what he has to do. He scores a little bit. He rebounds. Yeah, he puts on that face, you know, to kind of intimidate guys coming against him. So you just love the attitude that he has there. And they have some parts that they're working in. Obviously, Andre Roberson's, you know, he's a younger vet, but he's a guy who's solid defensively, and he's just going to play into the role. The key for them going forward is what are the guys off the bench going to do? You know, like Jeremy Grant, what's he going to do? Terrence Ferguson, is he going to be able to contribute? Patrick Patterson, the former Raptor, is he going to contribute? He only had 6 minutes in that game and recorded no points. So they're going to need guys like Patrick Patterson to kind of spot up on the outside. And when those guys aren't getting it done, they're going to have to be able to find him open and hit open shots. But I like what they have there. The question is definitely the depth on that squad.
Rory?
I'm going to circle back to the Knicks real quick. One thing I didn't like about this team, and it was kind of, when I looked at the stat line, looked at the box score, I said to myself, is why is Carmelo shooting 3-for-10 from three, and why is Paul George 6-for-13 from three? That's 23 threes between two of your starters. This seems like they're trying to emulate Golden State a little bit.
I think the whole league is.
No, I hear you, and I agree with you, Drew, there. My thing is that that's not their style of game. I think you need to have one be the slasher, one be the jump shooter. You know, they both can shoot. We already get that. The biggest highlight of that team is got to be Westbrook. He's in his form still. He's still in MVP form. I've always said this. The X factor on this team is going to be Patrick Patterson. It's going to be how can he find his identity on this team. I get it's one game, but I think for them to really challenge, if they're going to challenge Golden State, Patrick Patterson is going to be your guy that's got to give you at least, you know, find a way to give him at least 12 to 15 minutes. Have him have a similar playing style that he did in Toronto where he hit big time shots, because we know in the playoffs what happens. You know, games get tighter. You know, you're in the third quarter, you're going into the fourth. And when you have these scores looking like, say, for instance, 78 to 80, you want to have those big shots to get you ahead and then lean on your starters a little bit more. You know, it's the big shots that come up in the game. So, you know, I'd like to see going forward, you know, I want to see the Thunder eliminate the threes, you know, play more team-style basketball. They are going to be the team, it seems like, the challenge right now, Golden State. But it should be something to see.
I also wanted to point out great points there, Rory. The Porzingis, Kristaps had a phenomenal game, 31 points, 12 rebounds in that one. Did you guys see the block that he put on Melo as well? He was saying, "Yo, this is my squad now."
Okay, so what about? What about Ball there with all the hype? And do you want to touch on the guy who was defending Ball?
I'm going to touch on it a little bit. You know, and Patrick Beverley, we know what Patrick Beverley is about. He's a guy that's going to get into your head. You know, if you've played, and I know I can talk to Drew about this, if you play any basketball, it doesn't matter if you're playing organized ball, you're playing, you know, rec league ball or street ball, you're always going to have a guy that's going to get into your head. It's first game jitters. I expect Lonzo to still be able to produce, you know. It's crazy when you've got an assassin at the point guard in defense, and we know what Patrick Beverley can do, you know what I mean? It's just for Lonzo to he's got to go through the punches. He's got to weather the storm. You know what I mean? These guys are going to get into your head. These guys are going to check you. These guys are going to get up in your face because guess what? They're saying you're young. You need to be humbled. And a lot of it is going to be a trickle effect of the things that his dad has said. So a lot of these veterans, a lot of these goony type of players in the league, some of them, will going to want to take some shots at Lonzo. It's for him to humble himself, be the player we know that he can be, that we saw at UCLA. And I expect, like I said, Triple B's, Big Baller Brand, Lonzo, to really weather the storm this year and surprise the naysayers and the doubters.
Well, the thing is, I mean, LeVar Ball, I mean, what kind of pressure do you put on your son, you know, when you're attacking players like Steph Curry and calling out veteran players in the NBA and saying your son is better than them? I mean, that's an unforeseen burden that no rookie, especially one pick number two overall, no rookie wants to have to go through. And that game, Beverly absolutely was into his head. 3 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists in that game. But you could see the physicality is lacking in Lonzo Ball. You can see his size is going to be a factor this season. He's going to really have to try to bulk up very quick. He doesn't have outstanding athleticism at the NBA level, you know, explosiveness at the NBA level. What he is a player, like you said, Rory, that can make players better, make teammates better. But he's going to have to up his physicality level to be very effective. But for the whole season, guys in the league, the point guards, they're going to go after him, and they're going to make life extremely tough for him and the rest of that young Lakers squad.
All right, so you're listening to Ballin' here on barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball and Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Now it's time. I'm going to call this segment The Wrap on the Raptors. The Raptors opened up the season at the Air Canada Center by taking on the depleted Chicago Bulls. I want to touch on the season did not start, and there's brawls. All right, there's brawls in the locker room, like me and Rory. Of course, I get the victory over Rory any day. But what do you think, Rory, of those brawls there? Like, what's going on in the NBA? We touched about Gordon Hayward. We touched about Chris Paul. And now infighting before the season starts.
MMA hoops. It's called MMA hoops.
Rory, you want to join the Ground and Pound show also, Drew, or what?
I'll leave that up to you guys.
I'll say this, and I just made a reference. There's, you know, and in all sports, we do have guys that are, you know, they play with more of an edge. You know, you got guys like David West, guys like Patrick Beverly. They a type of goon type of mentality. You know what I mean? They don't want to take any issues from other players. They want to get up in your face. They always want to have a situation. They want to create a problem. They play with that combative energy. It's a part of the game. But here's the thing: is we always say this amongst ourselves is we have to be professionals, right? Kids are watching the game. The youth is watching the game. What are we showing the youth? You know, we're showing the youth that yes, it's good to go out there. We want to emulate our favorite players, our Steph Currys, our LeBron James, our Russell Westbrooks, but we have to dial it back to the organization of the game being played. It's, yes, we play physical, you know. I play rec semi-pro against rec semi-pro players. It gets physical out there. But at the end of the day, you shake hands. We're never going to get to a point where we're going to get into a fist fight. We may jaw-jack a little bit, but even though you have to dial it back and say is, we've got fans. We've got family members. We have kids again watching these games. So we got to tone it down just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been, you know, conflict in terms of within teams. There's guys that don't get along. You know, in every sport you hear it. You hear it in hockey, you hear it in football. Little scraps get on, a little pushing, a little shoving. But to get to the point where a guy suffers injuries to his face that he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, or whatever it is, I mean, it's just, it went too far. There had to be some way for somebody to jump in between that. And you jeopardize your team, as you say, your role models, but you also jeopardize your team going forward. You don't think the Chicago Bulls could use the two of those guys, never mind one of them, but the two of those high-end forwards against the Toronto Raptors? I mean, it might have been a different story in that game. So now, Portis is out 8 games. He's going to be apparently eligible November 7th against Raptors, so maybe that'll be their rematch time. But I just want to also point out for the Bulls, I liked what I saw in Lauri Markkanen, who came in and filled the spot of those big guys. 17 points and 8 rebounds. You're going to hear it first on Ballin'. Look out for Lauri Markkanen. That kid right there, that young baller, has got a lot of game, and he's definitely on point.
Drew, you want to know who to look out for? Look out for C.J. Miles. Look out for everybody goes against Jonas Valanciunas, but he had a monster game as well. And the Raptors won, I don't know if you're going to say fairly easily, but when DeMar and Kyle don't score 20 points and they still score 117 points, the Raptors have a good team, a total team win opening night. That leads us to the second game of the season, Philadelphia. Now, we're going to do a small preview of Philadelphia game with Raptors before. And, who makes the schedule out? The Raptors have Chicago, Philadelphia at home, both at the Air Canada Center. Then they go for a 6-game road trip. And the games that they have are not easy, right, Drew?
Oh, definitely not easy. The first one on a road trip, the Spurs. Then you got the world champion Warriors. You got the Lakers, not bad. A little bit of a break there. They should get that one if they don't get the first two. Then you're talking about the Trailblazers, who the Raptors always seem to run into, not only a hot Damian Lillard or possibly CJ McCollum if he's back, but also the referees. The Zebras always seem to do it in the Raptors when they get out to Oregon. Then you go to the Mile High, where you got to pull out extra oxygen masks to take on Jamal Murray and Trey Lyles of the Nuggets, and then they take on the Utah Jazz, which is never, ever an easy victory for them. So, yeah, the schedule gods are definitely not in the Raptors' favor. Now, you mentioned the first game, Joe, against tomorrow night's game or Saturday night's game against Philadelphia. That's going to be interesting. No Joel Embiid, because, as you know, he's back from injury, and they're holding him out from second game of back-to-backs. So guess what? It looks like the Raptors are going to have heavy doses of former Raptor Amir Johnson.
All right. Rory, what do you say?
Well, I'm going to drop another hot take exclusive on. We go back to JV's performance against Chicago, crashing the boards, 15 rebounds, 23 points. I've officially made a case to say this right now. He keeps up that good standout work, not only will he be an all-star to represent the Eastern Conference. Well, they won't represent the Eastern Conference because they're doing the whole pick-em now between the two captains. But I can constantly say this right now. You get this play by JV, the Raptors are gonna surprise a lot of these top big teams in the East. We have banged up Boston, no Gordon Hayward. We look at Washington. I still put an asterisk beside their name, but I think it's safe to say you have a big post presence and he plays the way he needs to play and he suits them up every single game. The Raptors got a great chance to do some dramatic damage. It's just when it comes down to playing against the King and LeBron, it's another story. But I like the complexion of this team. I'm big on CJ Miles. I've been doing a couple of articles on burnburner.ca there, mentioning CJ Miles a lot of times. I like their young rookie, OG. I can't say his name correctly, so mind me here. Ananobi. High energy player. You got to give shout outs to Norm Powell. You know what I mean? The silent assassin. And, we already know Kyle Lowry. we already know what Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan can do. If all these, you put it like, and I like to speak in like home cooking terms. If you have the ingredients right now, when you put it into a pot and you let it simmer all the way up to playoffs, right? And when you simmer something on the stove and you know you put all the right ingredients, what ends up happening? You have a great pot of soup or gumbo or whatever you want to call it. The Raptors have the formula right now. And
great
it's
point.
It's going to be exciting, you know, to see what they can make of this. And I tip my hat to them. You know, I was a little skeptical on JV, but keep playing like this, you know, keep representing. I would like to see this transition into an Eastern Conference final, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't mind going to one of the Raptor games if they go to the finals, you know.
Yeah, right. Okay. You have as much luck as getting a JV haircut. Come on.
I want to just add to this what Rory said. Being at the game at the opener, you make some great points. I mean, the Raptors have a weapon there. They have a weapon in Jonas Valanciunas that not a lot of teams can really handle. Now it looks like they want to show him that they believe in him, and that, I mean, it's only game one, but if they can show him that they believe in him and want to dump it into him, he's going to reward you. The more you give it to him, the more you show him that you know, you think he can get the job done, I think the results can be there. Just from sitting where I was sitting, I had a great seats at the arena, and just the atmosphere in there. Some people asked me, they were watching from home, how was the atmosphere? They said on the TV it looked kind of dead. I think there the atmosphere was one of confidence by the fans, but also excitement, and you could hear the buzz in the air. And I'll tell you, the way they zipped the ball around, they zipped it, they backdoor cuts. I mean, I saw Kyle Lowry get an incredible backdoor cut, the passes they were making. OG, I'll tell you right now, that right there was a due diligence job par excellence from Masai Ujiri. He did his homework on that and stole that young man from the rest of the NBA. He's got the body. He's got the mindset that's already of a kind of a third or fourth year player, and he's just coming into his own. Fred VanVleet, I've watched him a lot covering the 905 last season. He's a solid guy coming up, and you've got to tip your hat to DeLon Wright in that game. I mean, DeLon is now, what, third year? He's looking more and more like a solid pick. Obviously, he's gone through some injury woes, but like Rory said, this team, I think they're overlooked. And when you get a performance from the other players, and Lowry and DeMar had, what, 11 points, and you still win pretty handily against, yes, an undermanned team, I think this Raptors team is going to, surprise a lot of squads as long as they continue to play the solid defense. And I want to shout out JV for his defense inside as well, really making it difficult, just extending his hands up high on defense a lot of times inside and just making shots difficult.
Okay, I want to touch on three points that you talked about during the Raptors home opener. First of all, did you get me a Hyundai from – you were sitting beside Navbadia, okay? And that's number one. You should have got me a Hyundai. Number two is, okay, you say you have confidence in JV, but here's the key. Does Dwayne Casey have confidence in JV? Because, as you know, JV has been having great games and then disappearing late in the fourth quarter. So it's about confidence with the coach, not with the player. He has monster games, some games last year, 2 years ago, and then he's nowhere to be seen in the late game. And you need a guy, a big body presence in the late game because, you know, let's face it, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, what, play 43, 44, 45 minutes. If they have JB and Ibaka, the Twin Towers there, people are going to be hard to deal with there.
Well,
so
I want to
and hold on. The other point is, I like the Raptors having the red jerseys at home. Honestly, I know you're going to say, "What are you talking about?" But didn't it have a better feel, a better look? You were at the game, Drew. It wasn't there a better feel and better game with the red jerseys?
I agree, and the thing is, the whole arena was red. Obviously, the Bulls' colors have red trim on them as well.
Yes.
The arena was red, and they were giving out red T-shirts with Toronto over everybody, their new slogan.
We the North over everybody. The North over everybody.
The North over everybody, right. I have a T-shirt as well.
Well, where's mine? How come you don't give me one? You didn't talk to Not Bobby. You were like 2 inches away from him to get me a Hyundai to get a sponsorship for Baldwin here. Come on, Drew.
I'll get you the autograph from the Superfan next time. And the shirt.
I don't need an autograph. I need a car.
The shirts go to my mom. Sorry, Joe. The shirts go to my mom.
Here's the other thing. You talk to Gary Payton. You ever think I'm doing an interview for Baldwin so I don't have to hear Rory's view all the time?
Rory all the time. Come on,
yeah.
All the time. He's on the Russell Show, MMA Show, NFL Show. It's all Rory all the time. Mitchell Report Unleashed.
Okay. One thing I wanted to say here, calculating about my thoughts here, is Ananobi or Antinobi. He's a household name in this house now, officially.
You gotta pronounce it right. How could be a household name?
Sometimes names, foreign names, you can't really pronounce. But he's a fan favorite in the household. Expect me to dial up a nice either red or the black and gold trim version of his jersey sometime soon. And one of the other big things I wanted to really stand out and talk about with CJ Miles is he led that young team to a 20-2 run. You know what I mean? When they went on that run with them young guys there. So, you know, I'll say this right now, you know, shooting 6-for-9 from three, Lord have mercy. This Eastern Conference, man, watch out. Toronto's coming. You can feel it in the air.
Yep, and again, to reiterate, the atmosphere in there was absolutely electric. I think the fans are waiting for something to happen with this team. It was a bit of a setback last playoffs. They're looking at this team and liking the youth, but the youth has a lot of experience. Remember, that's the difference between this Raptors team. You know, you got guys like Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright who have had like 4 years college experience. So they may be, you know, second-year players in the league, but when you add it up, that's 6 years of solid high-level basketball they're coming into this season. So I look for them to take advantage of more opportunities. I want to shout out Nav, of course, the super fan. Always a pleasure to see him down in Raptorland.
All right, and now the Raptors play Saturday night, usually hockey night in Canada, but I like basketball night in Canada. Saturday night, of course, this Saturday, and then next Saturday in Rory's part of the world, London, Raptors 905 have a big game you want to touch on as we close out Ballin. You want to touch on Raptors 905 game, Drew?
Yeah, Raptors 905, they're going to be taking on the London Lightning, and both teams won the respective league championships. So I think that's going to be an interesting game. Obviously, the 905, I've yet to see their full roster, but I know that Eddie Tavares will be back, and I believe Negus Webster-Chan as well, from what I understand. And we'll see who else is on the roster. But that's going to be a great game. I think it's amazing for the fans. If you haven't been out to London, and we'll segue to Rory in a second, but if you haven't been to London to watch a game, an NBL Canada game, you need to get down there. I remember when we started the league, the NBL Canada, we were with the Oshawa Power. When we went down to London for the first time, it was an absolutely incredible facility, and we thought this looks exactly like an NBA game. The setup was incredible, you know, high level. They have entertainment there. The fans come out. I believe they were getting 5,000-10,000 fans a game. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to maybe make it down there and check it out as well down in Rorytown, Ontario.
Hold on. Rory, you cheapskate, are you actually going to go to the game? Pay a ticket? You cheapskate, come on.
Oh, you're calling me cheap
London,
now?
London.
Support my
people.
Well, you know. Hey, you know what, I'll say this to you right now. There's a lot of the guys in the city here, you know, shout outs to Marcus Capers, I've played with him in a, it was a charity memorial basketball tournament here down at Fanshawe College last year. So shout outs to him. And then you have Julian Boyd that, you know, these guys are going to take off. You know, he's from native of San Antonio, Texas, and we're welcoming back Garrett Williamson, the 6'5 forward. And last but not least, we cannot forget about the man, the legend of London, Royce White. This is going to be a good game. And I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say this. Right. London Lightning squeak out a win, led by Royce and them boys. Like I say, I've watched a little bit of tape of Royce down here. You know, we've seen him. He had his chance. He got drafted to the NBA. Unfortunate circumstance. He walked away from the NBA. A lot of different obligations that he had to face. He's got an amazing story that's out there that a lot of people just need to really pay attention to, where he tells a lot of talks a lot about mental health and stuff like that, something that he suffered from. But at the same time, you know, I look at this London Lightning team, and it's probably a no-brainer that they're going to repeat. And it's exciting basketball. You know, it brings the city together. And you know, me even working in telecommunications, you know, it's interesting because you have a lot of different customers that come into our store, and the first thing they talk about is basketball, and you engage in conversations. And I remember this one gentleman was there with his daughter. And, you know, what I like about the London Lightning, what they do for the youth is they go all to different parts of the high schools, public schools. And, you know, they're there. They talk to the kids. And even one of my personal training clients herself has said that, you know, they've had conversations with Royce, humbling conversation where, you know, talking to kids that with different situations, disorders, you know, if it's they suffer from mental health or have other unfortunate circumstance going on with themselves. So it's quite a chance to see, you know, guys like this, you know, if they're American, Canadian, giving back to the community, you know. Yes, they play for the community, but they're giving back to the community and all that.
Rory, you never answered my question. You cheapskate, are you going to get the ticket or not?
After me saying all I said there, I'm not cheap, Joe. I'm in the process of working some magic. I know tickets are a little limited down here.
All right.
I got to talk to the plug.
Enough of you. save your voice, because you're going to sing Happy Birthday as we close this out. This has been another edition of Ballin' here.
Hold on, Joe. Yeah, we got to talk a little Canadian ball here, you know. A little.
All right, go ahead. I was going to do that, but because we're short on time here, and Rory takes 20 minutes to sing Happy Birthday, I was going to do it, and then I would say, do close it out, talk about Canadian basketball. But
all right, let's
you
do
already
that.
Interrupted
we'll do your
me.
Order.
Go ahead.
We'll do go your ahead. Order. Go ahead, Rory.
Am I really singing Happy Birthday on the show?
Yes, you are singing Happy Birthday. Do you know the words?
All right, so I'll say this.
Do you want to do a duet? Here, the
yeah,
first
no,
time ever,
sing.
The
sing.
First time
sing.
Ever, you get Joseph Pacer, Jolton Joe, with Rory Mitchell, the Virtual Report Unleashed, singing Happy Birthday. All right, are you ready? Drew, you know, I told you this already. You're the Adrian Wojnarowski of Canada. I only do this because of you. Are you ready, Rory?
I'm just going to do something a little different. I'm going to do something a little different here. Drew?
No, you're not doing
yes,
different.
Sir.
Happy birthday. Love and appreciation for everything that you do for On Point Basketball, putting Canadian basketball on the map. And I hope you have a safe and happy birthday.
Enough of you.
And
all right. You want to hear my voice. Come on. Enough of you. All right.
Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Thank God I don't do this as a hobby. And Rory, sing happy birthday to happy birthday, Drew. All the best. Now, Drew Eubanks,
thank you.
The Adrian Wojnarowski of Canada Basketball, is going to tell you about Canada Basketball. Go ahead, Drew.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for that. I feel like I'm getting better, not older. Just a couple things. I know we're running short of time. Wanted to shout out Dylan Brooks from the Memphis Grizzlies. He had the best debut for a Canadian-born player against the New Orleans squad. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks. What else can you say? I mean, the kid's a winner. I think he got drafted way too low. I was at his draft party. We couldn't believe it, where he got drafted. I think he's going to make a lot of GMs. Sorry, they didn't pick him sooner. Corey Joseph, not a bad debut for him. 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists in 25 minutes. Pacers blew out the Nets, 140 to 131 in that one. Jamal Murray, another interesting player, obviously, the Denver Nuggets, 8 points, 2 rebounds from them, but they lost. The Nuggets lost to Utah in their opener by 10. And let's quickly go down the line. Tristan Thompson now relegated to the bench, 5.6 boards, 2 assists for him. And let me see, Andrew Wiggins, not a bad debut for the Wigs, man. Air Canada, 26.5 rebounds. Unfortunately, they went down by 8 to the Spurs. And Kelly Olynyk, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists in only 21 minutes for him in his debut in the Heat loss to Orlando. And finally, Dwight Powell of the Mavs, 6 points, 2 threes for him, 14 minutes. They lost. The Dallas Mavericks went down to the Atlanta Hawks. So there's your wrap-up. The Canadians are doing a lot of work. 12 to start the season, the most outside of America, the most players from any country. We are Canada.
As we close out this edition of Ballin' Here with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball and Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed, this week we lost a Canadian legend, Gordon Downie. He was ahead of a century. R.A.P. Gordon. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Rest in peace, Mr. Downie.
Yes, rest in peace. Rest in peace.